Welcome to America Tonight, Kate Delaney. How you doing, America? Hopefully not trapped somewhere for too long in an airport. About 1,500 flights, give or take, canceled, rearranged, that kind of thing. I think there were some pretty heavy delays in Newark, New Jersey. That airport is one of the hubs of the three in the New Jersey, New York area. A lot of weather events going on. There were, tragically, some terrible tornadoes that hit Mississippi and also touched down in Texas, too. And then there was massive snow, and that seemed to be the biggest thing. There were whiteouts and that kind of thing that led to power outages, and the power outages mean that people were struggling, trying to get the power company to get my electricity on. It's the worst thing. So winter storms, everybody wants a white Christmas, but then it's the aftermath and dealing with it. But some people did get that white Christmas. Unfortunately, they had the whiteouts that they had to deal with. So if you were stuck somewhere, I hope that you safely arrive wherever it is we're headed. I've talked about this before, but my family all got together at my brother and sister-in-law's in Tampa, Florida. And just in case, because you never know what the weather is going to be like in Tampa, I packed a bathing suit. Oh, no. No warm weather. It is very chilly. Luckily, I brought a couple of sweaters with me, too, because the weather has been kind of cool in Tampa. But very pleased to be here with my family celebrating, and I hope you got the chance to do the same thing with yours. Coming up in the next couple of days, we're going to take a look back at 2012 and what was the best and what was the worst of the year as we head into, 2013. I think it's a good thing to do when you reflect and you look forward to the things that you think may happen in this upcoming year. And politically, we're going to see, I think, a lot of different things. Whether it's good or bad, there's going to be a change, and there's going to be a change in Congress, a slight shift, I believe. New Hampshire is a great example. Do you know that all the politicians coming out of New Hampshire are all female now? They elected women across the board. We had our pal Jack Heath on, and he talked about that. So there's going to be some new faces. Will there be big changes? The makeup of the Congress hasn't changed very much. Will there be cooperation? We'll see, because we're still dancing along that fiscal cliff. When I sat down to try to make that list of the best and the worst, and I'll tell you, I really tried to come up with some of the best things. It was easy to come up, sadly, with some of the worst things that happened, but some of the best things, what were some of the best things that came out of this past year? And what were some of the, like I said, what were some of the unusual things that happened? There's always crazy, strange trends, movies. You know, on this show, we do our cheap movie review. Sports, we talk about sports. We do Nail the Score. And when I reflect back on the movies, coming up, we've got the Oscars and Seth MacFarlane, you know, the voice, the brilliant creator of Family Guy and the Man of a Thousand Voices, who's going to be the unlikely host of the Oscars, but I think he'll do a tremendous job. He, in thinking about his year and how big his career keeps growing, there's an actor that is not a Seth MacFarlane type, but reminds me of the trajectory that he's on, and I think that's Bradley Cooper. He was in probably my favorite movie of the year, and it's kind of a sleeper movie that I bet a lot of you haven't even seen. I always say, if you go to see a movie, send us your cheap movie review. And this movie is called Silver Linings Playbook. I might have already mentioned it. Bradley Cooper's in it. Jennifer Lawrence is in it. Robert De Niro is in it. And, you know, there's a whole Philadelphia flavor there, so admittedly I might be a little bit biased, but it's not so much about Philadelphia. It's about other themes. So to me, that was one of the top movies of the year. And Argo, another one that I thought was brilliant. Ben Affleck coming into his own, starring in it with John Goodman and Alan Arkin, and then directing it. So we'll take a look at some of the better things that happened in 2012, and that means movies. We look at movies, and we look at huge things that happened in the world of sports, too, as we get ready for our next year and what we can expect with the next year. When it comes to things that were just the worst of the worst, I think that the if we go back to the beginning of the year, we could look at what happened, you know, really, I guess, mid-year. We could look back at what happened, the carryover to the Penn State, horrible thing that happened at Penn State with Jerry Sandusky and the cover-ups there and the fact that he ultimately was sentenced to 30 to 60 years in prison for 45 counts of sexually abusing 10 boys over 15 years. That may have been one of the biggest outrages on this show. A lot of people wanting to throw in their two cents on Sandusky and how, you know, that's not tolerated in prison, and what does this mean for other sports teams? What does this mean for our culture? Lots and lots of reaction to that. The other thing we had a big reaction to, and we were there for this, we traveled to a bunch of places, we went to Washington twice, was the Supreme Court's health care law ruling. And, you know, that this is where you had a divided Supreme Court that upheld really the heart of President Obama's signature health care overhaul law that requires the individual mandate that most Americans get insurance by 2014 or end up paying a fine that'll be thrown at them from the IRS. And that vote, we all know, was 5-4. And we handicapped that, talked to a lot of people about what we thought was going to happen there. So that was absolutely one of the biggest moments, I think, on this show, and certainly for the country, and the conversation was huge. Sandy in October, who knew? You had more than 130 people that were killed when Hurricane Sandy smashed into the East Coast. Thousands homeless, the storm tearing through New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, $50 billion plus in damage. That was a moment that, a shocking moment, and you think of the roller coaster of Seaside Heights that was in the water, and you looked at that, and you just, it was shocking, still a very shocking photograph from 2012. I mentioned athletes, but Lance Armstrong's story, after Lance Armstrong upheld for so long by so many people in the Live Strong organization, all the money raised for cancer, but the 7 Tour de France wins just scratched from the records, banned from cycling for life after the International Cycling Union ratified the United States anti-doping agency sanctions against him. Remember, the report came out. We talked to a couple of doping experts about Armstrong, and that was a shocker, I think, for some people who didn't expect that would happen. And I'm reading Tyler Hamilton's book, by the way, so I'll let you know what he had to say about it. I hear it's absolutely a tremendous read. My husband couldn't put it down, so he made sure that I got a copy of it. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk about natural resources. We're also going to talk about a couple of other things that I think hit us pretty hard during the year and where we're headed. And then something a little strange, a little different when it comes to burying your loved ones and actually having a talking marker. So, a headstone that talks, that tells about the life of the person who is who's buried in the grave beneath. And that's taken off like a shot. So an entrepreneur. So stay with us. Lots to come. We're kicking it old style next on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com. Click on freeze-dried foods and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Welcome back to America Tonight. I'll tell you what, how many times do we talk about natural resources and where are we headed with natural resources? We're so not in the game in so many ways. I saw this from earlier today. One of my buddies on the Hill sent me a text about Senator Landrieu saying that Congress might actually have to step in on natural gas exports. Well, here's the thing. Natural gas is such a boon to so many areas, but yet there is a real push-pull over it. And we have in the wings with us Teresa Platt. She's the National Center for Public Policy Research's new environmental director. And she just did a piece that I happened to catch that was great on what are the problems ahead with the abundant natural resources tossed aside for greener alternatives. This is perfect because we just got into it about solar power and tax breaks and all that kind of stuff. Teresa, first off, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kate. So glad you asked me to come on.
All right, so the natural resources, natural gas certainly is one of them. We're seeing that people's towns, fates and fortunes are turning around. There's a place called Cleburne, Texas, a little tiny town in Texas that now has made so many profits, so much profit off of natural gas, and the lives of so many people, education, et cetera, has turned around there because of what they found with natural gas. But there's a real push-pull thing going on with natural gas. I don't get it. Why is that?
Well, it's they've developed the horizontal drilling, so you can take the natural gas deposits from underneath the ground a long way away, and so it requires just a really small footprint. So a lot of the farmers are giving access to their land and allowing the horizontal drilling to get those deposits out. And, of course, you know, it's a wonderful energy resource, and they're making good money. So we have all these fossil fuel reserves in the United States, and now we can access them from private property. If you had to rely on the federal government lands, we wouldn't have anything. It just seems like it keeps being reduced every single year. So, yes, there's a natural gas boom going on all over the United States.
Yeah, and as you said, it's very small footprints on these private lands. So natural gas is available at really cheap rates, to be honest, compared to what else we're getting for the liquefied kind of stuff that we're pulling in from other places. So It's got to be, I guess, an alternative to coal. But I say, why can't you kind of combine the two? Or does that not make sense?
Well, I think you're comparing apples and oranges when you say it's an alternative to the liquid. So you're talking about petroleum for fueling our cars.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the natural gas is used for fueling our computers. It's an electricity resource. So you've got coal and natural gas providing probably about 70% of your electricity.
Mm.
After that, it's nuclear at about 20%.
Mm.
And after that, it's a mix. Hydro, I think, is about 5%, and you've got a little bit of wind, and solar's pathetic. It's even less than 1%. You got biomass. You got wood and corn. I did a piece on the nationalcenter.org website called Killing Old King Coal, and the very first link there links to an incredible report on where all the fossil fuels are and where energy production comes from. And so I really recommend your readers go to Killing Old King Coal by Teresa Platt at nationalcenter.org and click on that first link. You'll learn a lot. I learned a lot in the process.
Yeah, one of the things you talk about is what you pay, you know, what we pay for our bills, gas and electricity. And also you talk about the additional money, which would be in the form of what you call, which is true, the federal subsidies. And you really break it down per megawatt hour of electricity. And I wanted to go through this because the subsidies are interesting because of the fact that we're talking about greener versus the natural resources that we already have. For solar, what is it for solar?
Well, it's $775.64 per megawatt hour of electricity compared to a subsidy for coal that's about 64 cents and natural gas about 64 cents. And that's just a federal subsidy. There's probably subsidies somewhere buried at the state level, too, which you'd have to ferret out. So exactly what we're paying, it becomes very difficult to see when it doesn't show up on your energy bill every month.
Yeah. Yeah, you even talk about, too, water was like 56-something, wasn't it? Wind.
Wind is about $56 a megawatt hour. But what it doesn't calculate in is a tax benefit that wind also gets, the renewables also get. It's something called a production tax credit, and that's being discussed in Washington, D.C. right now. Wind alone is estimated at about $12.2 billion. So what that calculates per megawatt hour, I don't think people have been doing the math, but they're doing it this week in Washington, D.C., because that's a lot of money. That's your tax dollars moving to wind. Is wind viable? That's the big question. Or how long do we have to subsidize it? Solar, same question. It doesn't appear to be that they make financial sense. Will they have to have tax dollars forever? Looks like it. It looks like they're just not efficient. And the most fascinating thing I found when I was writing the report up was that solar and wind, you know, the wind doesn't blow all the time. The sun doesn't shine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So nuclear and coal and natural gas and hydro, these are all backing up solar and wind. So we're paying double because you just are not getting much bang for your buck out of solar and wind.
Yeah. It's that real cost that you're talking about and that you start to see. And if you want an example of it, and you pointed out, we've talked to people in other countries about this. We have other people that listen to us in Europe. And Europe is seeing what's happening because what's happened to their electricity prices, Teresa?
Yeah, they're a little bit further ahead of us in this game. They've been subsidizing much longer and at much larger levels for forever, it seems. They're starting to reinvest in coal plants because it makes sense. It makes financial sense. We have, you know, these wonderful reserves of a very dense energy product. The key to coal is trying to make it more and more and more efficient so that you get a lot more out of that little lump. So, yeah, Europe's ahead of us. They're starting to back away from the subsidies. Spain discovered, all the news reports, it discovered it lost 2.2 real jobs for every heavily subsidized green job. And eventually, the whole thing just comes down. So Spain is suffering for those wrong decisions.
No, yeah, 2.2, that's crazy. So I guess as we're talking about this, is it, and as you say, in the Hill, they're looking at these numbers now, crunching them. Are we really backing the wrong horse in this race? Are we looking at the wrong sectors when it comes to energy and the production of energy?
Well, I think if you're looking at taking our taxpayer dollars and saying, okay, let's figure out how to make things really work and really function, why do we ignore coal? Why do we ignore natural gas? Why do we not let coal and natural gas be produced on federal lands? Why is so much going to solar and wind when so far it's pretty lackluster performance? So, yeah, are we backing the wrong horse? Are we making the wrong decisions? I think the only way you can really see the issues and make these decisions is if you have a real accounting of the cost. And when you hide subsidies off of the power bill, it doesn't let us become educated consumers. So, yeah, I recommend this is going on. You know, talk to your elected representatives about it, and this is your bill. I mean, you're going to be paying for this. Your kids are going to be paying for this. Your kids may be working at coal-powered plants in the future. They may be working at natural gas or doing hydraulic fracking. I mean, all these things are part of our future. So go ahead, read Killing Old King Coal by Teresa Platt and look at that report. Really educate it, your kids. Pass it around to your friends. And then ask questions. I think we need some serious answers.
Yeah, and in that, to wrap this up, we talk about, you talk about, and we talk about on the show all the time, China. And you mentioned an interesting thing about China. How much coal does China use?
Oh, it's about four times what we use. I found a wonderful quote from an energy expert at the Asian Development Bank, and he said, no matter how much renewable or nuclear is in the mix, coal will remain the dominant power source. And when I looked at the numbers, when the amount of coal that we have right here in North America, I can see why. We have thousands of years worth of coal energy right underneath our feet. And natural gas, it's up there too. So, you know, we are a wealthy, wealthy country. But we have to harness these things, and we have to harness them based on real economic parameters, real financial decisions. That's impossible to see when you can't see the full cost. So this is where the federal government comes in. You have to ask for a full accounting so you can really make these decisions. And, yeah, I hope you read the report that I've linked to in my Killing Old King Coal piece, and I hope it'll help your listeners.
Thank you, Teresa. It was a pleasure talking to you. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks, Kate.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Of course, we're broadcasting from Tampa, the site of the Republican convention. A lot of eyes on Isaac as it makes landfall in Louisiana. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the conversation as far as the RNC speeches are concerned. And Romney trying to soften the image of Mitt Romney. What are some of the specific things that she said? We'll talk about that. Right now, though, in our virtual green room, we spared no expense. He is maybe sipping on one of those lattes that I told Matt to put in the virtual green room. Anyway, I'm just teasing. We love having Dan Gaynor on this program. He's the president of the Business and Media Institute at the Media Research Center. We're going to talk about ethanol. And what is the scoop on ethanol? How come nobody's talking about it, especially with this drought and the problem with the corn crops? Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure. I'm actually virtually green in the virtually green room.
I like that, virtually green. You know, in television, if you were green, that's a really bad thing, because that would mean you're not white balanced. So be careful.
That's okay. I'm colorblind, partially. Anyhow, it doesn't really matter.
Why is it there isn't a discussion about ethanol, or not very many? We've talked about it on America Tonight, but to be honest, in trying to research more on ethanol, really in the last couple of months, just to see what other people are saying, you're right. I hardly could come up with any coverage of this. So what gives?
Well, I mean, this is one of those classic media things where they don't really want to tell you the truth of what's going on. Yes, the drought is really affecting corn prices, but the government mandates 13.2 billion gallons of ethanol be made every year. So what we're doing is we are growing crops that are meant to eat for humans and for animals, and we're shoving them in our cars. And the government's forcing us to do this, even though we've got a drought. So you've got corn growers out there saying, well, you know, look this ear of corn, and you see something half the size of what it should be. And we're forcing people to put that into our cars. The net result is the price of ethanol goes up, the price of food goes up, we can't export food as much. And the media, the reality here is, even though on the hard left and the hard right, both sides have acknowledged that ethanol is one of the most ridiculously stupid and awful policies in modern times. I mean, the left and the right both hate this. This is not a bipartisan.
Sure.
The problem is the stupid people in Capitol Hill and the stupid people in the media who have told you for years that ethanol was a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and the problem is, tell everybody why it's not such a good thing, Dan.
Well, it's not good for a couple reasons. One, it's not good because you can't produce enough of it. We grow it based on corn. Now, in Brazil, they grow it based on sugar. Sugar has, I think, what you call a higher energy coefficient. So you get more energy out of sugar ethanol than you do out of corn ethanol. Corn ethanol, on the other hand, you have to plant a lot of crops to get the corn. You can't use pipelines, because the ethanol is so destructive to pipes, it degrades the pipes, which, of course, wonderful thing to do in your car. You can't use too much in your car because, of course, it'll degrade your car. There is a lot of discussion whether, in fact, you even save any energy producing it, because to grow the corn, you use fertilizer, which is made in part from, what, oil.
Yeah.
And you ship it, which is used oil and ethanol, of course, because you're shipping. And then, the whole process is just so convoluted that there's not even great agreement that we're saving any energy. But why do we do it? This is
because it's green agenda. It's the green agenda.
No, it has nothing to do with the green agenda. The left and the right hate the green agenda for this as well. It's because where is the first primary?
Iowa.
Uh-huh. What do they grow in Iowa?
Corn.
I've been to Iowa two times recently, and I can tell you it is really the amazing amounts of corn. What they tell you about Iowa is true. It's corn pretty much everywhere. If the first primary was held in Hawaii, we'd be shoving pineapples in our cars. But instead, we've got this failed policy, and neither part, we've cut back on it, so we at least got rid of the tariff. So that at least we're not putting tariff on foreign ethanol we're shipping in. But this is just such a convoluted policy. And the networks, they've done a ton of stories on the drought this year, 55 stories in the last 6 months. But only seven of those even made a mention of the issue of ethanol. I mean, that is astonishing that they would be that nearsighted about it. This is something that is affecting our country. The UN, and I think you and I could spend a whole night talking about the UN, and we could come up with 99 reasons out of 100 why we can't stand the UN.
Right.
Well, here is one time where the UN is actually doing a good thing. They told the U.S., they said, you've really got to drop, at least for now, the ethanol mandate, because
yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to starve the world.
By doing that.
We are the breadbasket of the world. And so if we've got a drought and we're not making not growing as much corn, and what we're growing, we're not shipping abroad, guess what? Other countries are going to starve. So
yeah.
2008, you remember when we had big issues about corn and price of ethanol? We had global food riots.
Yes,
that's what policy ultimately is doing. This is what the media are pushing under the rug because they don't really want us to know about it.
So it's all about Iowa. Iowa has that much sway because it's politics.
Tip O'Neill is a very famous Democrat, and it said possibly the most brilliant thing ever about politics, which is all politics local.
Yeah.
And so when it comes down to it, everybody in Washington wants to get reelected. Everybody, every party, well, we can't offend the Iowans. We won't ever be able to run for national office. You know, there's a line in Blazing Saddles where Mel Brooks, because he's playing Governor LePetitme, and at one point in time, when they're discussing a crisis, he says, we got to protect our phony baloney jobs here. Well, that's what this is about. They're trying to protect their phony baloney jobs. It has nothing to do with helping the American people. Nothing.
No, I agree with you. And here's the other thing. And you mentioned it, talking about the cars and the pipes and everything else. We're not equipped. And your analogy to Brazil was brilliant, because they have cars that are set up for petro and for the sugar cane, because essentially you're right. That's what it is. I've seen that process, Dan. And it's completely different than what we're talking about in the United States. We are totally not equipped to handle all the ethanol anyway, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, well, to grow enough ethanol to actually, like, put it in our cars, to use the cars that we use, we basically have to, you know, tear down all the cities and tear down all the roads and just plant corn. So, I mean, it's just a ridiculous process. And what's worse is, for all the, everybody in the know in this, and I mean everybody, you talk to auto people, you talk to energy people, they realize that 10% ethanol is dangerous for cars. The government is looking at E15 right now. E15 will be so destructive to your engine. I mean, I guess it's the way to get us all driving Chevy Volt. Because, you know, they'll basically wreck your car, engine, so you'll be forced to drive an electric car.
I was just going to say, aren't they, like, not making any more Volts? They just made some big announcement about that, so we'd really be stuck. And
yeah,
it's crazy.
We don't have a national energy policy. This is the most bizarre thing. Here we are, a nation that thrives on energy. The reason why we are the global economic power that we are is because of excessive energy. What is our policy on energy? To get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at across the board, and this is the left and the media, they walk hand in hand on this. They are anti-nuclear because they highlight every nuclear problem. Don't talk of the fact that the French get 70% of their nuclear power from nuclear. They are anti-carbon-based fuels. Oh, you got to worry about global warming. So there goes coal, natural gas, and oil. Okay? Then they are against dams. The left is systematically going around our country and worrying about, like, I don't know, whatever, the snail darter or some sort of, you know, the salmon at some place, and they're trying to tear down dams that provide power around the country. Then they're against windmills. Yes, we're told they're for windmills, but even Ted Kennedy, back when he was still alive, was fighting them building windmills off the coast of Nantucket.
Yeah.
They are against large solar because of both the environmental impact and the heavy metals you use in large solar projects. They are against energy. They want us all to live, and I mean, you read the lefty literature, this is, they're very honest about this. They like the way the Japanese live, where they have really tiny apartments, and they live all close together, and then they rewild the area around them. That's what they want us to do. They want to keep us basically in little habit trails.
Oh, I can't live in a shoebox, can you?
I don't right now. I live in a house in the suburbs with a half acre of land.
Yeah, no way. I can't even do zero lot line very well. So
for the eco nuts who happen to listen right now, I also have deer and rabbits and a fox and all sorts of critters that come to my property, and they're all welcome. I just don't welcome people that much.
I totally get you. The E15 timetable, what do you think the timetable is on that? Oh, please,
well,
not
think
soon.
All that depends on what's going on right now in Tampa and what will be going next week in Charlotte. You know, if the Republicans get in, some of the most absurd idiocy will be reined in. You know, Mitt Romney's a businessman. He'll look at some of this and go, what are you, crazy?
Right.
And so some of this stuff, the real crazy stuff, will go away. But things like ethanol, I mean, the left and the right agree on this, and we can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
You know, that shows you how morally, ethically, and politically bankrupt we are in Washington when the experts on both sides of the coin say, yeah, not a good idea. Oh, well, let's keep it then.
Yeah, we agree on something, and the UN doesn't feel the same way. Like you said, that is the most bizarre twist of all. Dan Gaynor, always a pleasure to have you on America Tonight. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. Look forward to talking to you soon.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Food stores? Check. Survival tools? Check. Weapons and water filters? Check. But what about a permanent source of cooking power that can run forever without buying fuel or paying for maintenance? Introducing Afterburner Stoves, home of the original patented rocket stove, the Kelly Kettle, and the Solo Stove. Afterburner Stoves has what you need and now offers all GCN listeners our complete preparedness package with the means to cook meals and sanitize water. Whether you dig in or bug out, cook almost any meal with just a handful of sticks. We already have the lowest online prices guaranteed, but if you enter coupon code GCN at checkout, we'll knock off an additional 15% and send you our amazing 6-hour solar rechargeable light bulb absolutely free, all for only $249. Visit afterburnerstoves.com or call 866-716-5214. 866-716-5214. Afterburnerstoves.com. Cook hot meals with just a handful of sticks.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression. America's worst drought in agricultural history. And now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or one day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
People don't like to talk about a lot, but let me tell you, our next guest, the guy I'm going to introduce you to, has a revolutionary idea that is taking, I think it's going to take the nation by storm. Jared Sandon joins us now, and he is the founder of Life Marker. Check it out. We're talking about headstones that literally allow people to speak from beyond the grave. I am not kidding you. Jared, thanks for stopping by America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
So, Life Marker, now, I didn't really explain this. I just said it allows people to speak from beyond the grave. So you can imagine that people driving around right now or sitting up listening to us, wherever they might be, whatever they might be doing, are like, what is she talking about? Explain what Life Marker is.
Sure. Yeah, and essentially it's a genealogy chip, if you will. Basically, when that gets mounted to a stone in a cemetery or any place where somebody may go memorialize their loved one after they passed away. And essentially what it allows you to do is you hold your any smartphone or tablet PC or iPad or tablet up to it, and instantly you'll see that person's photos. You can watch some home videos of them, hear that person's voice, and as well as there's a family tree aspect inside the application where you can, you know, have pictures of all your nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, cousins, sons, and tell a little bit about each person. So it allows the next generation to see who this generation was in their own voice, and allow this generation to tell their life story to the next generation who they may not ever meet.
How did you come up with this idea? Because you were thinking apps, and how do you make this more interactive? How do you get people to, when they're going and they feel depressed or they just want to celebrate someone's life, this is a great way to do it. How did this all start?
Sure. Well, I actually, I also own a monument company here in Beaumont. And so through the process of selling headstones to family members and especially wives, you know, a lot of them have told me over the years that the one thing that they've missed is their husband's voice. You know, after somebody passes away, you don't realize how much you cherish that person's voice and that aspect of that person until they're gone. So, and then I also have an extensive software background. So putting the monument business and my software background, together, we came up with LifeMarker.
Yeah. What's been the reaction so far from customers and other people?
Sure. Extremely positive. I receive emails almost weekly from people that say that going through the process of making your life marker or building the life marker for somebody that has already passed away, it's almost therapeutic. You know, it allows them to go through, it brings some families together because they all come together and gather old photos, start to tell stories. A lot of times it kind of brings everybody together while they're trying to build the life marker for somebody that has passed away. Or if you're doing it more on a pre-need basis, a lot of families, you know, kind of make a nice activity out of it and set their mother or their grandmother or their grandfather or grandfather or father down on the couch and have that person tell their life story. And everybody has a story, no matter how insignificant somebody feels that their life has been, they all have some aspect of their life that is interesting to the next generation.
Boy, no kidding about that, because I think there's so much that gets lost, and that's why the Ancestry.com and all those other things really took off, where people were trying to hang on and trace their family tree and their stories they don't know. But here you actually have stories. And I think, without a doubt, there's something about the voice deal, because remember, you probably remember this, Jared, a lot of people would save tape from an answering machine just so they could hear the person's voice over and over again. So now you don't have to do that. You don't have to save all those messages from your phone or whatever. That can be used for this, you know, this gravestone app, essentially. So somebody could come in, it doesn't matter how old they are, somebody could come in and say, well, I want to create one, and they buy that, create it, and then they have it just ready to roll. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and ideally, that is one of the problems. People never know when somebody may pass away. It could happen. It could be an expected event, or it could be a tragic car accident or something that's completely unexpected. So that's the reason, you know, sometimes when people pass away, the only thing they will have is a voicemail or a couple of photos or something like that. And that's truly sad. And so what we, encourage people to do, especially with the cell phone voicemails, is if somebody was to ever come in, we actually advise them to get that message off of that cell phone immediately, because so many times you'll accidentally hit the wrong button and it gets deleted and there's nothing your cell phone carrier can do to bring it back.
Yeah.
It's almost like ripping the bandage off the wound all over again.
Yeah. And, you know, you can put it, if I'm right about this, and you'll know, obviously, where you can put it on like a bench or a plaque or gravesite. I mean, there's a lot of places you could put these QR codes, right?
Absolutely, because a lot of people are actually choosing not to, especially now the trend is more towards cremation. That's a growing trend in our country now. So people are planting a tree or are donating a park bench to a park or something like that. So this chip can be put onto any clean, smooth, dry surface.
Yeah. You weren't surprised that this took off, were you?
No, I'm glad that it is, you know, and anytime you're starting a new business, you know, it's always scary in the beginning.
Yeah.
But we are seeing some tremendous headways.
Yeah, so as you said, you started off as the monument guy. So the trends have really changed. Are you really seeing more cremations? Is that what, so people are doing that and spreading ashes somewhere, or keeping ashes in an urn, or doing other things?
Well, a lot of times families are planting a tree or donating, you know, a flower garden to, you know, a local garden place, or like a community park or something like that, in honor of that loved one, you know. So a lot of families are still doing the traditional burials, but there is a growing trend, you know, that people are moving toward, you know, doing these park benches or planting a tree in that person's honor and spreading the ashes and cremation.
When somebody,
you know, that's where this life marker really plays a key role.
Yeah. When somebody comes in and they say, okay, I think this is, yes, I like this. I like this idea. It's, this is the wave of the future because everything's about barcodes and your iPhone and iPads and all of that anyway. So why not? Sure. What's the biggest question that they have? What's the biggest thing that they're confused about?
Well, I think the biggest question that they have is, you know, how long it'll last, what happens if it ever gets lost, damaged, or stolen, or, you know, or those types of questions, you know, and what we have is we have a policy as a company, if it ever gets lost, damaged, or stolen, we replace them at no cost, and whatnot, but, and probably the biggest other question people have is if they're not real computer savvy, how do they get their information onto the chip and onto the servers and things like that? And we have a support team that helps them through that process of getting their stuff on the site.
Yeah, how to upload it. Probably you've seen a lot of them. What's the most creative? Can you think off the top of your head what's one of the most creative that you've ever seen? Because I'm thinking in my head pictures and videos, and boy, there's a lot you could do with that.
Well, there is, and some people are more artistic than others, and so you can always tell when somebody has got that artistic look and feel to their videos, you know, because they have lots of software out there on the internet to where you can, you know, do these video photo video editing and put music to it and things like that. So if somebody, when they do buy it, if they have like a niece or a nephew or a grandson or somebody else in their family that's got a little bit of creativity to them, they can really build out their life marker quite nice.
Yeah, and I would imagine that the bulk of the customers are older people. Are they mostly older people?
You know, it's quite interesting. I was actually thinking that the majority of our customers were going to be the younger generation, but mm-hmm. It's the older generation that has really adopted it the most. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with they've gotten a little taste of the technology era, you know, that a 25, 26, 27-year-old has, and they've seen the Facebooks and the Twitters and all of this stuff. So it's their way of getting involved in that whole process, as well as preserving their family story for the next generation. You know, as people get up into their 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, you begin to think about what happens next and what am I going to leave to the next generation. And many times the next generation doesn't want money or things. You know, they cherish the life stories and the feedback from the older generation. And that way they know where they came from.
Yeah, very cool. Jared, founder of Life Marker. You can check it out at lifemarker.com. Thanks for coming on the show. You've got my wheels turning here, thinking about different things. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. You have a good one.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.